God said to Noah, "It's all over. It's the end of the human race. The violence is everywhere. I'm making a clean sweep. Build yourself a ship from teak wood. Make rooms in it. Coat it with pitch inside and out. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Build a roof for it. Build a roof for it and put in a window 18 inches from the top. Put in a door on the side of the ship and make three decks, lower, middle, and upper. I'm going to bring a flood on the earth that will destroy everything alive under heaven. Total destruction. But I'm going to establish a covenant with you. You'll board the ship, and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives will come on board with you. You are also to take two of each living creature, a male and a female, on board the ship to preserve their lives with you. Two of every species of bird, mammal, and reptile. Two of everything so as to preserve their lives along with yours. Also, get all the food you'll need and store it up for you and them." Noah did everything God commanded him to do.
That slide back up. Just go up one. I just get a kick out of this. Did you listen to that? Every time I come to that last verse, it just touches me. God says, build a yacht out of wood by hand. Gather two of every living creature. And the scripture closes with simply, Noah did everything God commanded him to do. And every time I read that, that's got to be one of the largest understatements in all of scripture. Noah just did it. Tonight we're continuing our little series on the voyage into deeper waters and moving our spiritual journey from wherever we are to a place that's a little further out from the shore, a little deeper, a little further into God's Word and in our relationship with God. And tonight, again, we'll be looking at three stories: Noah, Jonah, and Peter. Three ships, three sailors who teach us an awful lot. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence and to have your word opened up to us. And we just pray tonight, oh God, that you will move us body, mind, and spirit, that we might leave this place different because we spent an hour in your presence and in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Move among us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up on the New Jersey shore, you hear boating things from time to time. I grew up, spent all of my life right there on the beaches of New Jersey. And one of the sayings that we hear from time to time, and you may know this, what are the two happiest days in a boat owner's life? The day he buys the boat and the day he sells it. Because boats are work. When you buy the first boat, you think all the great stuff that's going to happen on the boat. Fishing, just laying out, getting a tan in the middle of the bay or the lake or wherever you are. And then comes all the work. I remember the summer my dad bought a boat. I think he went on it three times. Because the third time he got in the middle of the bay to fish, and when he went to leave, the boat wouldn't go forward. He came all the way back into dock in reverse because the outboard would not push the boat, it would only pull the boat. That was his last trip on the boat. My dad was mechanical, so really in a lot of ways, it wasn't a big deal for him to fix it. But as the boat was in the paper to be sold, he taught me that saying. The two happiest days in a boat owner's life are the day that they buy it and the day that they sell it. Did you come up with anything in your life that was more work than you thought it was going to be. For my dad, it was the boat. Did any of you talk about anything? You're allowed to answer. Excuse me? Oh, okay, that's good. We give those as suggestions. I've said often, please don't feel like you have to. Did anybody come up with anything? The wall in our house, that we were just going to take the wallpaper off and paint. And how long did it take? Yes. Yeah. So this 2-day project became a 3-month project at some point. It was just more than we anticipated. There's a lot of work that goes into the things that we do that are worth doing well. My dad, after selling the boat, took us out when we wanted to go fishing on what are called party boats, where you pay to get on the boat and they take you to where the fish are and then you just fish. And the only things you have to worry about are your own rod and reel and your own fish. You don't buy the gas. You don't clean the boat. You don't worry about any of those things that need to be done. You just ride. And it's a wonderful thing. They have very expensive fish finders, and they take you to great places, and you can catch lots of fish on the party boat. But there are drawbacks. One of the major drawbacks for me was that it wasn't our boat, and so the day that I got seasick, 5 minutes out, I was still out for half a day, whether I liked it or not. And no one wanted me to ask the captain to bring the boat back because they were catching fish and cared little about the green color I had turned. Being a passenger has its advantages, but being a passenger also has its drawbacks. And when we talk about our spiritual journeys, sometimes we see ourselves as the passenger. But as we move along in our spiritual journeys, we need to move from passenger to crew. James Moore, a United Methodist pastor, wrote a great book, but better than the book is the title of the book. It's maybe my favorite book title of all time. It's called Yes, Lord, I Have Sinned, But I Have Several Excellent Excuses. Great book title. And it's actually a really good book. But he tells the story about the Old West. And he says that in the Old West, you could buy a first, a second, or a third class stagecoach ticket. And the difference was this. On a first class stagecoach ticket, you bought a seat. And no matter what happened, you stayed in the seat. No matter what happened, you stayed in the seat. A second class stagecoach ticket, the clip is missing on the wire and it's making me a little crazy. The second class stagecoach ticket meant that if something bad happened, like you got stuck in the mud or one of the wheels broke, your job was to get out and make the coach a little lighter. But there was also a third class ticket. Can you imagine what you had to do if you had a third class ticket? You had a seat until something went wrong. And when something went wrong, you had to get out and fix the problem. If it was a wheel, you were the jack and held the stagecoach up. If you were stuck in the mud, you got in the mud and got behind the coach and pushed. You could get a first class ticket and just stay in your seat, a second class ticket and get out of the way, or a third class ticket and really help when a problem arose. If we look at our three biblical sailors, we see that, boy, they weren't first class passengers. They had third class tickets. Peter. We looked at the passage with Peter last week from the Gospel of Luke. When Peter is called by Jesus to be one of Jesus' disciples, Jesus says this to Simon, and this is Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It should appear on the wall. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." And then the fishermen pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me," and they got a job right away. There was work to be done. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women." And then there's Jonah. Jonah's story starts off with the work to be done. It says this, Jonah 1:1, "God's word came to Jonah, 'Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them.'" And of course, Jonah's story is the story of running away from the call that God had put on him, the work that God was asking Jonah to do. But later, reluctantly, Jonah does follow through. And then Noah, who we've looked at in Genesis chapter 6, Noah says, or God says to Noah, "Build yourself a ship from teak wood. You'll board the ship, and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives will come on board with you. You're also to take two of each living creature, a male and a female, on board the ship to preserve their lives with you." It seems like the call of God is not to hang out. The call that God puts on our lives is not the easy path, but when God puts a call on our lives, it's a call to do the work that God has called us to do. You know, when we originally talked about doing this series, I hadn't really planned on doing this every week, but I have another Evan Almighty clip. I just really like this movie, and it hits in some places that I really enjoy. This is probably my favorite scene in the entire movie, so let's share that. And this is part of Evan's call to build the boat.
I'm not doing this. It's insane. No! Enough already!
See, if you had a knock, you'd have a place to put them all.
Why are you doing this? Why me?
It's not time yet. Go on.
Click
on the
picture. Yeah, go on.
So how about it? Feel like living on the edge? Beautiful, isn't it?
I remember creating this valley. Notice how the mountains line up east to west. I saw there'd be lots of sunshine.
Where are we?
Don't recognize it, eh?
No.
Now, this is where you live, son. This is Prestige Crest. I wanted you to see the original design.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans. That's
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it. And if anybody asks, tell them flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood and then... Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
Ever since I've seen that movie, sometimes when I pray and tell God I don't like the plan, I just picture Morgan Freeman laughing. That doesn't fit into my plan, God. And he just laughs. I wonder how often, though, we do exactly that. God calls us to be about his work, and we have other things on our mind, other things that we want to do, and God's plans often don't fit into our plans. We want a first-class ticket. We strive to live life of ease. We envy those who have enough money that they don't have to work. We envy those who have the toys that we wish we had. And at times we just want that comfort. We want a first-class ticket. We want to be on a deck chair just watching the waves go by. And isn't that the beauty of a cruise? I haven't been on one, but I've seen the commercials. That everything is included. You know, pay that ticket price and you don't have to worry about anything for a week. You just ride the boat. And yet, God says there's work to be done. Noah, Jonah, and Peter didn't have first-class tickets. They got called to do the work. As we continue in our spiritual journeys into the deeper waters of life, we can't remain first-class Christians. That's okay for the shallow waters, but when the waters get deep, there's work to be done. I do want to say, though, there are times when I think we need to allow people to minister to us. I think there are times when we need to stop working and allow people to do things for us. That's why we don't go in the Christian journey alone. We'll talk about later that the Christian life isn't a kayak, it's a cruise ship. We're all in it together and we're all working together. We don't go on it on our own. We're not totally 100% self-reliant. I think that's a myth of our culture that we can live our lives by ourselves, but I'm starting next week's sermon and I don't want to do that yet. But there are times in our lives when we do need to just sit back and let other people in the crew minister to us. I think when we're new to the faith, we start out as passengers and we just kind of ride along so that we can find our way. And then when crisis comes in our lives, sometimes it's hard for us who have been so used to being on the crew to take a break and let others help us when we're in our weak place, when we're in our need. There are times when it's okay to take the ride. But for the most part, we are called to move from passenger to crew, from a first-class mindset to that third-class mindset, to move from the deck chair to the galley, from sitting back and getting a tan to getting ready to row. James Moore, in that wonderful book, Yes, Lord, I Have Sinned, But I Have Several Excellent Excuses, tells another story of a minister friend of his. He had a man wanted to join his church, and he was trying to encourage this person to be active in the life of the church. And the man said to his minister, "I want to join the church so that I can be fed." And the minister replied, "We'd all be better served if you take off your bib from time to time and put on an apron." It's not just about what we get, but it's about what we can give. How we can help those around us, how we can work together to be the people that God is calling us to be. Our spiritual journeys aren't just about being along for the ride with God. They're not about just putting ourselves in a place to receive blessings. But instead, we're called to be part of the crew. Like Peter, to be a fisher of men and women. Like Noah, to protect people and animals and the planet. Like Jonah, to share the word of God with people who need to change their ways. And so tonight, as we move again from where we are to where we want to be, are we willing to get out of the deck chair? And we've added oars to our little display, ready to row, ready to be a part of the team that makes it happen. Our spiritual journeys are so well served when we're not just the ones receiving, but we're also the ones who are giving. One of the weird things that happens when we take youth on mission trips, and I haven't been on an adult mission trip yet. I'm always with youth, so I don't know. It probably happens to adults as well. But when I'm with youth on mission trips, one of the things that always seems to happen that just seems counterintuitive is that as we give, we receive so much. Growth comes not necessarily in the receiving, but the spiritual growth comes when we are expending ourselves in service. When we're giving and giving and giving, God has a way of filling up what we give out in new and better ways. And so tonight, I don't know where God's calling you in your everyday living. Because this isn't about going out on a mission trip. I mean, this sailing is about our everyday, ordinary living. Where's God calling us to be in service to the people around us? Where is God calling us to share with the people we come into contact with? Where is God calling us to be His people in our ordinary living? Let's pray together. God, I know there are times when we must just cause you to chuckle as we bow our heads and pray our prayers for what we want and what we hope for. God, tonight we continue to just put our hope and our trust in you for all that you give to us and for all of the ways in which you are guiding us and directing us into new places. Tonight, oh God, we hear the call to serve, to not just be fed, to not just go on the ride, but to do the work that you have called us to be the people that you have called us to be. And we pray that you will speak to each one of us tonight. Help us to hear your word. Help us to feel your nudge as you guide us into places we might not be so comfortable to go. Help us as we go out into deeper waters of faith and trust to be your people in our world. Guide us and direct us. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go forth in this place tonight, we go forth knowing that no matter where the journey takes us, God goes with us. We go forth knowing that there are times when the water's deep, and we know that God keeps the boat afloat. We go forth knowing that there are times when God says, row, and we need to row. And times when God says, sit back and let somebody else do the rowing and be healed and refreshed and made new.
May we go forth to be the people that God has called us to be. It's different for every one of us. The work's a little different. We can't all be doing the same thing. I don't know yours. Where is God asking you to touch a life, to bring his peace and his love and his joy to someone? Where are we being called to be the people of God? Let's go forth to hear God and to boldly do his work. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.